Hey, Ma. We're starting the 12 Days of Christmas early this year. From October 11th to December 28th, we're giving you our top 12 Moms Actually episodes from the past three seasons as we get ready for, wait for it, season four. So whether you're a new listener or part of the Ma community, take a listen, share with a friend, and don't forget to rate and review. Ready to spin the block with us? Let's get into today's episode.
Welcome back to Moms Actually. I am Morgan. These are my co-hosts.
So Paresh.
And I'm Blair.
And today we are talking about mental health.
Yes.
The invisible load of motherhood.
Yes.
And we have none other than Jenny.
Yes.
Virginia Thornton here with us. She is the owner or co-owner and co-founder of Black Girl Tennis Club, as well as Get Well Soon. So she is like all things wellness, all things mental health, and we just could not find someone better. Like,
Exactly.
So we are excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is going to be a really great episode, so I'm just excited to jump right in.
Yes.
Now, because you are a new to the show, new to the
calendar.
You're going to play this game, and I'm going to just, you know, explain it really quick. This is called It's Giving Motherhood. Now, gold is yes, white is no. In the middle is like sometimes maybe.
Yes.
And, you know, first answer is the right answer, so don't think too hard
about
it, okay? All right, so I'm going to get right into it. Do you go to therapy?
Yes.
Sometimes.
You've been doing really good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I have great therapy.
Did being a mother affect your mental health? 100%.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
1,000%.
Yes. Do you have consistent do you have consistent help? I'm gonna be in the middle.
Yes, I do.
Consistent.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be in the middle. Do you view being a mom as a full-time job? Absolutely.
Yes. Full-time job.
Yes. Do you feel it is possible to parent equally? I would say yes.
I think so.
I think it's possible. Does it commonly happen?
Probably
like,
not.
No.
The question
is
anything
is possible?
Yeah.
You don't even think it's possible.
No.
I like that. We're going to unpack it. Yeah.
I agree with you.
I like that. Okay, we're going to come back to that. Do you wish you were more acknowledged for your role as a mother? Yes, I do.
Who could, I mean, I think I am acknowledged, but I'll take more.
You can never have enough.
Right. Do you communicate with your needs to your spouse when you feel like you have so much on your plate?
Sometimes.
Yes, for sure.
I do. Sometimes.
Do you feel like you take time to nurture yourself?
I got you and me,
but not me.
Do you have a hard time saying no? Better.
Who am I saying no to?
Anybody.
It depends.
It does depend.
Because I got a strong no sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find it easy to ask for help?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
These are kind of hard.
Yeah.
Do you openly express your feelings with your children? So, for example, I'm anxious because I'm feeling sad right now.
Yes.
Do you do that?
Yes.
I could do better.
Mm-hmm. I could do better as well.
I'm not always huge on that.
Yes. So, let's just dive right in. I want to go back to the question where you said you do not feel that it is equal. Like, you can't.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, especially in my world, I feel like it's just not possible. But usually, I feel like the man has a role and the woman has a role. And I feel like children tend to gravitate to their mothers more.
True.
So if the man wanted to step in and have a 50-50 role, I just feel like it's not possible. Like, my son would never let my husband have a 50-50 role. Like, it's me and... I was about to say me only, but it's not.
I think that's why it's the invisible load of motherhood, because it's like all the stuff that, you know, people can't see that's just like biological or natural to us. I always say, like, people are like, if you go somewhere and, you know, and if it's too much for you, just bring somebody with you. And I'm like, cool, I can bring someone with me, but you know where my kids are going to be?
Right here with
me. Like, your kids want you and they prefer you, and I purposely like move my kid, like your dad, like how did you pass your dad to come all the way over here up here to ask me to open your fruit snacks?
break down the bathroom door to ask you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know what I started doing though? I started, when they do that, and they do it often, like right before I left to come here, my daughter literally passed her dad, came upstairs and asked me to like put her shoelaces back in her shoes. And I said, you see, I'm literally getting ready. I'm packing. I'm doing all these things. I said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I said, go back downstairs and ask your dad. I send them back down instead of doing it, because I feel like if I'm doing it once they pass them, I'm affirming the fact that they can continue to ask me and not ask him.
Exactly.
So that's what I've started doing.
That's very true. What boundaries do you guys put in place, like Morgan, to make sure like you can at least like lessen the load? Because I think sometimes we put so much on us naturally because it's so much easier to do it, do it quicker, do it our way, which is the best way. Like I tell a lot of new moms, I'm like, even if they put the diaper on backwards, that's their business. Like that's that's the father's business. Like, because at the end of the day, I don't know if you guys ever watched The Simple Life. Paris Hilton taught people, like, if you do it wrong, they'll stop asking you to do it. So once you stop asking them to do it, like, you know, then they're like, oh, well, you got it. And all of a sudden you're doing everything. So what boundaries do you put in place so that doesn't happen?
For your husband?
Yeah, for your husband, your partner, or whoever's helping you with child rearing. What boundaries do you put on your place, on yourself, so that you don't do everything yourself? She don't put no boundaries.
I'm going to be honest. I need to get better at that. Yeah. So I really, that's probably contributing to my mental health is because there are no boundaries. Like, it's my son comes first, and whatever he wants, he's
gonna get. That boy sleeping in your bed?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
He's not. No, he's not.
He said, I got one boundary.
Yeah.
That's the boundary.
Okay.
If my husband at home, he's sleeping in the bed.
Okay.
Bed.
Oh, see?
Okay, wait. You answered your best.
She said, I'm going to say this part quiet.
Right. If he got home, he does sleep in the bed.
What about you? What boundaries do you guys put in place that she might be able to implement?
I said, Ma, you go. Go ahead.
I think for us, it's just over-communicating. Really just being like, I'm overwhelmed right now, so I need you to take the kids so that I can get my work done, or that I need to, like, have some me time. So I think after being 4 years in it, you know, I've been a mom for 4 years, I'm learning how to better communicate instead of, like, taking it on, because I am the type to be like, I'm independent. I will do it. I get it done way quicker than he can. But I'm learning to, like, let him do it on his own and learn on his own. Because if he doesn't learn, then it falls back on me, too.
Yep.
So. Yeah. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that a lot of it does have to do with that control piece.
Yes.
Like, I'm a little bit of a micromanager. So if I could stay home and, you know, read books with my son or do arts and crafts with my son, I would prefer to do that than leave him with someone who might just turn on the TV or give him the iPad. Yeah. So
there's some good television shows.
There are. She's
like, this is really like on the list.
Watch Blaze on Amazon Prime. They're learning math, some equations, but I understand. You want someone that you know you're going to be active. You can't trust the other person that they're going to do as much as you as you might.
Yeah, but I also have to realize, like, if I need a break, then iPad is
the goal. The goal is to keep the baby alive.
I think that's the thing. It's not just boundaries with other people. For me, it's boundaries with myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't have anyone to blame, honestly, unless I communicate. Unless I set boundaries within myself that I'm like, okay, Morgan, if you say yes to one more thing, or okay, Morgan, if you decide that you're going to do all this laundry and you know this man is sitting right on this couch while you're also cooking dinner and you can tell him to go put a load in, that doesn't take rocket science. You know what I'm saying? Like, just go and do that. But that's no one's fault but your own. Yep. And let's be clear, men do not read minds.
They're
not going to take, like, there's only but so much initiative. They don't. There's only but so much initiative they're going to take. Yep. They're not wired that way. Yep. And that's fine.
And it's not personal to
It's
us.
Not personal at all. So I'm like, boundaries with myself.
Yeah. So let me ask y'all this then. I know y'all are the host, but I have a question, okay?
I got a question. I love it.
Do y'all ever feel guilty because you feel like your husband should be the one, like, to go out, make the money? And do you feel like, do you feel guilty asking, like?
I will say, you know what I mean? My husband's in the entertainment industry and owns, runs a whole lot of businesses or what have you. So I get it. I get it. I'm like, he's the one primarily working, primarily bringing in a bulk of the income or what have you. But to me, being a parent is still a separate job. Like, it's not like I'm the mom and you're the moneymaker. I'm like, you're the main business person and we're both parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while to get there because I was thinking that. I'm like, well, he's so busy with work and he's X, Y. And I still think that often. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I told what I ended up telling my husband is like from 6 to 8:30, like before their bedtimes, dinner to bedtime, your dad. Like, I need you to be present for this time. I don't care if you're even on the couch and you're still working, but I need you to be present in this moment. Because even if you're still working, they can glean from that, they can learn from that, and you're around.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from this time, when you're home, because he travels a lot, I need you to be dad.
Yeah.
Like, great you do this, but this is a whole separate role.
Yeah.
And I think before I saw it as you do this and I do this.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you do this. Because if you worked a 9 to 5 at a job, you still have to come home and be mom. And I think a lot of people can recognize that. They go to their 9 to 5 job and they might have a great time, they might have a bad time. But guess what? They get home, pick their child up in daycare, and they're mom. It's not like, and especially both parents work. Who gets to say, well?
Who gets to say, well, today?
So it's hard because it's a mental thing. It's a mental thing we're telling ourselves. They don't even tell us, or my husband doesn't even tell me that. But it's like, I had to get myself out of that, for sure.
I would say the same thing. For me, I kind of do the same thing because I am home. I mean, I'm working from home, but my schedule is a lot looser than my husband's. And so a lot of the times, especially in a season of he's like, pushing, you know, pedal to the metal type thing. There are times where I'm like, I don't want to ask him to do this because, you know, he's been working hard. But I've talked a lot about rhythms and I think it's just whatever the season is.
Yeah.
So there are times where it's like we go into weeks, especially if we know it's a week that's coming up that is going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. And we like pretty much have a meeting at the top of the week and say, hey, this is what I'm either expecting of you or this is what I'm not expecting of you. And this, you know, and kind of it's the communication piece. Yeah. And that way there's no silent resentment because that's honestly what ends up happening is like you have that guilt and you're like, I don't want to ask him for it. Yeah. And then maybe like a couple hours later, you done
still
it all.
Wanted him
but
to
you
show
going
up
around the house like
open the door,
closing the washer and dryer. You know what I'm saying? Like now you're doing it. Not in love, not in honor. Yeah. Now you're just upset. That's the energy around the house is all messed up.
True.
But if you go into the week or go into that season of, all right, we about to just put the put the, you know, pavement, however, whatever the saying is. But if we do that, it's like, it's a lot easier. Not saying it's easy.
Yeah.
It's just easier.
I think, setting the expectation for sure makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I think mine comes from a different point of view because I work from home with my husband and I am the breadwinner. Yeah. So for me, it's more so like not making my husband feel guilty for not doing the things of like him seeing that I'm overwhelmed and then him taking that load off of me.
Right.
So it's just that balance of like, please, like, you see, I'm working, like, communicating and making sure that we know. So I'm from a different, like, it's just different. Like, I don't feel guilty that I'm working and I'm trying to, like, provide for our family. It's more so, like, I'm making my husband feel guilty that I'm doing. So that's something that I'm, like, having to work through and learn. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, you don't need to go away.
I mean, not, but men in general probably feel some sort of way with their wife being like a breadwinner.
Of course,
And it's funny, I grew up in a household where my mom was the breadwinner, but you would have never known from the way she respected him and even still the house, like the way the house, and I don't know if she, you know, mom, I don't know if you secretly resented my dad because she still was the primary also child. Like she, the one who took care of me the most. They both worked 9 to 5. She made more, but she, like
she came and
she was my mom. Like she was more present or what have you. So I think it just like depends, but she always respected it, never brought up. And I think it just matters how you carry
I'm still working on that. I'm still learning how to do that, like respectfully.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's hard. Yeah. It's hard in this world, but what, like, So at what point do you start asking, like, do you ask for help? Like, you have a meeting at the top of the week or whatever.
Yep.
You said you're working on, like, do you wait till it, like, gets to this moment where you finally ask? Like, you're asking, like, so, you know, with your husband, do you ask, you know, do you ask him, do you let him do what have you? Like, when do you ask your husband? Do you wait till you're about to explode or are you, like, you ask him early or you just don't ask at all?
He's, like, my last resort. So, like, so,
like,
I go through, like, no, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, like, I know he's busy. Yeah. So I don't want to add one more thing onto his plate. Yeah. So I usually go to my mom. My mom not free. I go to my friend. My friend not free. Then I go to somebody else. Yeah. And then it's my husband.
Yeah. But, I'd say a lot of cases I do that too. I always say if I ask you for something, it means it's very important.
Yeah.
Because no one knows your schedule better than me in most cases. So I'm like, if I'm asking you,
that means it's...
I need a yes. I'm not, like, it's not a question, but I try to ask more generally, too, because my husband was getting a little offended because I was asking him to do a lot of things, but I'm like, I'm asking you because I actually think you're, like, the most impressive person in the world, and I want my kids to be like you. Yeah. Yeah. I love our babysitter, I love your assistant, but I want our kids to represent us, and I think you're just, like, a smart person. So I'm like, even if you're still... I said this earlier, but even if you're still working, even if they can come with you on certain things, I just think it's important that they see you and they're around you, especially, you know, having a son. Like, I want my son. You're around women all day.
Yeah.
I need you around the guy for a while. Yeah. So
I agree.
I think he knows, too, when I'm like, babe, I need to go play tennis. He's like, okay. Like, he knows what that means. Like, she about to pop.
I like that. So it's like a secret code.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have to. Because sometimes you may not even want to express that you're feeling overwhelmed. I know for me, there are times where I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it because I'm trying to work through my own feelings of, like, I've kind of done this to myself as far as feeling burnt out. Or right now, I'm just really stretched thin. And I don't feel like explaining that to you because, honestly, you know my schedule. And I don't feel like saying that. Like, I just feel overwhelmed. Because then I feel like, well, maybe I'm not strong as I thought. Like, I don't like to say those things out loud. Maybe that's a pride thing. And I don't know.
No, it's my favorite saying. We're not superheroes. Like, when you see us doing everything and you guys are, like, so impressed, like, oh, my gosh, Morgan cooks and works and does. Someone help her.
Like,
that means does some reels.
Yes, it does. Exactly. So the moment you see us and you want to be like, man, she's a superhero. Like, figure out how to help that woman.
Check
like,
on me.
Check on her. Compliment her and then check on her. You know, and same with all of us. But what's the toll, like, on our mental health from doing all these things that are seen and unseen? Because a lot of times, like, when you describe your day with your child or as a mom, like, we leave out 90% of this stuff. When it's funny, you see, like, reels, you're about to go on vacation and you show the dad getting ready versus us getting ready. Like, we do 500 things or you mentally go through so much and the dad's like, okay.
He's, like, putting on his shoes, go to the bathroom real quick, grab his backpack.
So it's like, how do you manage your mental health? Like, how do you stay healthy mentally with all the stuff that we have on our plate?
So for me, now what I do, and I just started this because I'm still learning, but I have 2 days a week where I'm like, nobody's on my calendar. Yeah, like, so it's Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm like, I'm doing whatever I want to, either my mom or my nanny will watch, and I just, if that's sleep, then it's just sleep. But that's really helped me. It's really been super helpful. And I feel like now my son is in school, so people are like, oh, yes, she's more free. I'm not. Like,
my school schedule's too short.
I know.
Yes. I'm like, I just got you there. It's time for you to come back already.
That's really hard, though. The whole, like, even you're taking time for yourself, but I end up getting, like, feeling guilty that I'm taking time for myself. So if I'm laying down, I'm like, I feel lazy. I need to be like, because then I start thinking, I got like three piles of laundry that need to be done. I need to, and then I start like getting anxious. So now I'm starting to coach myself into, you deserve this. Like, and actually, this is the only way you're going to be able to move through the week smooth if you take some time and calm down and like, refresh, you know, refuel.
And I'm pro gentle parenting, so. I'm pro gentle parenting. And I found that when I don't take those days or those moments for myself, I snap.
You forget what a gentle parent
Yeah.
And I don't You're like I'm not a gentle parent if Wednesday and Thursday don't happen.
Right. So, and I always feel really, really, I feel more guilty about that than laundry not being done.
So, because it has nothing to do with them. That's what I've realized. Like, how I react to them has more to do with me than anything that they do. It's a whole, it's a, like a whole thing.
Have you put certain things in place, routines or anything like that?
I live by routine. I like, if I don't have a routine, I can't function.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have routine. I have lots of lists. I make sure that my husband and I, like, we meet, we make sure that we're dividing the list. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really helps me mentally, even not feeling as overwhelmed, mm-hmm. because I feel like my brain is in many different mm-hmm. boxes. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be able to function, I have to
like
make
these
everything.
Meetings you guys have.
Yeah. I know. Yes. I like that too. I'm about to implement that.
Well, family meeting.
Give me a gavel.
No, well, ours is mostly on a calendar. So I have like our to-do list on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just tell him, like, this is what I have going on for the day. And then we just move on throughout the day. Because we both work from home. So it's like, I see him all day.
Makes sense. Yeah. So I have a question, because nannies have helped me mm-hmm. greatly, mm-hmm. but I get nanny guilt. Like, mm-hmm. I even had someone comment once, mm-hmm. like, oh, you have a nanny, this is not the show for me. And I felt like I had to explain, they were watching Moms Actually, and I think I mentioned having one. And it's like, you know, it can be a class thing. It can be like, oh, you need help. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I had postpartum anxiety with my first. Mm-hmm. If I did not have, she lived with us like for that year. Mm-hmm. If I did not have her, I probably would have gone insane. So it's like, I don't know if you've ever dealt with nanny guilt, or how does that help alleviate a lot of what you have to do, especially for someone who is a micromanager and needs control? Do you let her help, or that person? Or?
I totally let her help. So I actually, my husband and I went to therapy because I did not want a nanny. I mean, it was a lot of other stuff, but when I was pregnant, we went to therapy together because he was like, I don't understand why she doesn't want a nanny. Like, we have the means, like, it'll relieve all the stress, et cetera. But I realized that, sorry, Mom, that, like, you know, growing up, or, like, once I was pregnant, my mom was like, you don't need a nanny, girl. Like, and that, like, stuck in my head that I don't need a nanny.
Yeah.
But after 4 months of being at home with a newborn and my husband traveling around the world, I needed a nanny. Yeah. Like, he was right.
Yeah. I was so mad. My husband, when I was pregnant, he told me I needed one. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So then when I had the baby, I was like, man, he was right. We ended up moving in with his mom because he traveled so much. And I was like, I can't. Like, I can't. I'll go, like, totally insane if I do it myself.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
It's nonstop.
Like, I think people also don't recognize the level of nanny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like, sometimes, like you were saying, like, you're like, okay, I just need help with these couple things.
Yeah.
And if you can take these things off my plate, this would help me.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're not doing the mom stuff. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're still, like you said, even with the nanny and you're in the house, that child is still going to pass the nanny and come to you to open the top of the juice cup.
Yeah.
Like, it's still going to happen. But I think there's some type of, like, mom shaming for some reason. And I don't know if it's a trigger that's, like, projected, you know, to other moms.
Many moms do it themselves.
Yeah.
But I'm like, people can do things by themselves, but do you have your sanity? Do you have your mental?
Yeah.
And they might. And that's great, but there's a lot that I'm sure if they could or would be open to it, it would help. But my mom even made a comment. She's like, yeah, I wondered with all the help you had, like, if your kids would still feel close to you. Like, so it's, she didn't mean it about, but it's like, it's literally like what people think. They
that
think
was
you're
my
just
thought
giving away your children and being like, I'll see you at bedtime for a kiss.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's what people assume.
Yeah.
I think everyone desires to have one. I just don't think that they can afford one.
Yeah.
So therefore it becomes a defense of, like, I can do this on my own. I don't need someone to help me.
Yeah.
Because when I was a nanny, I thought the same thing too. I was like, why does she hire me to take care of her kids? Like, but I realized that she was doing things for her own mental health. Like, she was getting her nails done, making appointments to go to the chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing all these things so that she can become, like, so that she could be a better mom for her family.
Yeah.
So now, as a mom myself, I'm like, I was a little judgmental.
Yeah.
I mean, she paid me to be there, but I was like,
it's definitely generational also.
Yeah.
Like, especially as women of color, we are taught to be strong black women.
Strong, independent black women.
Black women. Like,
those are we're those not, songs.
Yeah,
those songs
like
lie to you.
It's ingrained in us. It's in our blood. And I know that for a certain, like, when I first became a mom, like, my grandma, love you, grandma.
everybody but, shouted out.
Yeah, all our family.
Love you, girl.
Sorry.
But no, she would be like, you going where? You need to do what? You want to go out with your friends? For what? You need to, and I'm like, well, grandma, I need a little break.
Yeah.
A break?
I never had a break.
Yeah, I never had a break.
Is that really how your grandma told me?
a break.
Yes, yes. Rosita does talk like that.
Yeah. But no, she, and now I think what's been amazing, and even with this show, I have had a good amount of like people from the previous generation, like say, come up to me and say, oh my gosh, you know, I wish I would have had this when I was younger. I wish I would have like recognized that I should have taken more time for myself, because I think I would have even raised my children a little bit, you know, I would have done a couple things differently. And we always say this, our parents and our grandparents, they all did the best they could with the resources that we have. But like now we have resources like a Get Well Soon that you guys are doing, like, hey, come over here and just do this mindfulness session, or just come and take this moment and this time for you. Like, there's spaces that are created for that. And that wasn't the thing. So it's like a shock to, you know, that previous generation. So I think that too, the nanny thing can
And I think what people aren't thinking about, like when talking about things that are invisible that people don't see, I think sometimes we think of like, you know, I'm cooking, I'm packing, I'm thinking all this stuff. Like, I had a child and I had a miscarriage. So I'm raising a child while going through a miscarriage. My friend raising a child while going, you know, trying to find out if her child has autism. Like, there's just so much like things that's always on our minds, trying to raise my kids so they can go to MIT. So all the things I'm trying to like put in place, like, it's just, I feel like there's so much going in, like going internally. To like raise these kids that no one sees. I think I just have such high expectations within me. So I'm trying to like meet all these things every single day. Even when I'm laying on the couch doing nothing, I'm like, man, I got to do this. I got to make sure my kid is this. And it's just, it is heavy. So it's not even like the things that I'm doing every day. It's like the mental load is what's so heavy for me.
So for me, I always say that like I wear this necklace and it has 8:02 a.m. on it. And people ask like, what does your necklace say? I'm like, 8:02 a.m. They're like, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's my birth time and my son's birth time.
Really? And they're like, you guys were born at the same time?
It's my rebirth. So so like I always say that like, now I'm pro nanny. Now I'm pro like all of this stuff because like you gave birth to a child, but now like you're a new woman. Like you're mourning. You're mourning your old self, because you're never going to be your old self again. I don't care what anybody says. There's no more old Jenny. It's new Jenny. So even now, like my son is two and I'm still mourning my old self.
Some my child had a happy birthday and someone wished me happy birthday. And I
happy
was like,
birth.
I was like, wait, it is my birthday. Like, why don't I get anything? So I love that.
I really love that. Yeah. I was just, there was something on Netflix I was watching and the girl was like having a whole meltdown and her mom literally said that. She was like, you are never going to be the same. And you might like all those, yes, they're hormones, but a lot of it is like internally that old you is dying. And you're mourning that old woman, like that woman is gone you are now like your new self. And I think about that in all ways. The body, I don't look at old pictures anymore because I'm like, that girl, that pre-pregnancy body, no matter what, it's actually never coming back. It's always going to be something new. So I love the rebirth concept. I might steal that girl.
You can steal it, girl.
We all about to have necklaces. But I was like, dang, y'all born at the same exact time.
Yeah.
But I have been working on this concept. And I might have said it to you, Morgan, but I feel like women need, new moms need wellness checks just like their kids. So like,
don't
you know how you go and you take your, after 1 week, you take them to the doctor. They may ask you five questions, but then it's like, oh, okay, you're good. But 1 week, 2 weeks, however many, like, I feel like every week, couple of weeks, you're going to take your newborn to the doctor.
That's true.
Nobody's really asking, like, how are you doing? Like, we need detailed questions, too. So I feel like creating some sort of mom wellness check just with the baby wellness check is like super important.
100%. So this is where I get on my pedestal and talk about, because I'm very passionate about this. We know the fourth trimester exists. It's proven. Doctors know it exists. It's a thing. So before we have the kids, like you said, we go every single week to get them checked. So if this fourth trimester exists where, you know, our mental health is off because of hormones, why are we not required? And I'm not saying it's convenient to go to therapy or something every single week. I don't care if you check everything is great on that fake postpartum test that they give us.
Like, sometimes what do you don't even know how you feel.
You don't know. Or you don't want to seem...
Or you think they're going to take your baby away or something. Yes. Yeah, like,
I don't want to seem crazy. But it's like, because they don't do that, and again, they know it exists, my heart goes out to women I see that have harmed their babies in their postpartum timeline. And I know it's cool to say the fourth trimester. I think it can extend past that if you only help. It starts there, and then it can become a true mental health issue following that. But my heart goes out to them, because I think the thing is, when we try to share, it's hard. Someone will be like, but it's going to be okay. It gets better. And so then you're like, okay. And then if it doesn't get better, you don't feel normal. You don't feel okay. Or people look at you crazy. So now you're trying to hold all of this in. And the next thing you know, you see what we've seen in the headlines or, you know, what people have hurt themselves or their children or they're just totally mentally imbalanced. And I think there needs to be wellness checks. I mean, it would be great if that was part of public health, but it should definitely be a private health option because... I probably lied all over that. I was like, they ain't going to save me. I'm crazy. And I probably was crazy.
Yeah, I was.
That's how I knew I needed help, though. When you were talking about, like,
the check.
And the check. Mm-hmm. And, like, you mentioned something, but after, when Nigel was 3 months, I cried every day after he was born. And he was, like, 3 months, almost four. Like, I was crying. We were home alone. I was crying. He was crying. And it got so bad. Like, we were just looking at each other crying. And I literally thought about leaving him on the bed and running. And after that thought, I was like, oh, no, I got to go see somebody.
See? And there's so many people that get to that point and they still don't. And it's scary, but it's like people don't share that. Because they don't want to be felt a certain way. But you know how many people are looking at, going to watch this and be like, girl, leaving him on the bed, you're a great person. Like, you knew what I was thinking. And it looks different for everybody. I always say I wasn't crying every day. I just felt like I did not want to be around my... I was like, I need... Like, we could have been here and someone says they need help three hours away. I forgot my gum 3 hours. I'll go get your gum. I'm not going to the gas station. I'm going to throw...
And I'm leaving my child here.
I literally drove 8 hours once to my parents' house because the baby wouldn't stop crying at 5 a.m. And I was like, I didn't know what else to do. I knew the car made her go to sleep. I didn't know. But people don't talk about that, especially in real time. So everybody's alone feeling heavy and mentally unstable.
And we couldn't get pregnant right away, so we did IVF. So doing IVF, all those hormones, having the baby and then being unhappy once I had the baby, I was feeling like guilty. Like, I did all of this because I wanted a baby so bad and now I'm like unhappy about it. So
And that's just not fair to yourself. It's just, but people don't talk about it.
No.
Did you ever have a moment like that?
Plenty. I think with the first kid, I was staring a lot out the window and staring at him while he's staring at me.
I just see it as a TikTok now, like a real,
That's exactly how I felt. I was like, I don't know what to do. But even when I communicated it, my husband still didn't know how to be there for me, if that makes sense. Like, I was like, this is how I'm feeling. He's like, oh, okay, it's going to be okay. So, but like, then who do you talk to about it who can really help you? Especially because, like, I didn't have people who were pregnant at the time or had babies. So do you guys have any advice for anyone who, like, who's had a baby or like try, you know, don't have a community or have someone there to walk them through the, like, I'm feeling lonely or I'm feeling like I'm going to hurt myself or my kid.
Because I feel like we've seen that a couple times. Like, we talk a lot on this platform about community and about sisterhood. And then they're like, well, what if I don't have that? And so then, especially with this topic, it's like, what do you do? You know, where do you go? Where do you turn to if you don't have the people that you can immediately touch within arm's reach? Are there systems that you could put, you know, I don't know. Or is there a, what is it? Like, how would you, do you have anything? Because I don't have the answer.
I feel like there are some Facebook groups, though, that I did join after I, like, started breastfeeding or, like, I just was a first-time mom or, like, they have, like, black moms, like, groups that you can join. And I felt a lot connected to those groups, like, because I didn't feel alone. So I think that was one way that helped me realize, like, yo, I'm not doing this by myself. Even though I didn't know any of these women, I'm so thankful because they... I feel like
too, not knowing them because you're a little less
judged. You don't feel judged. We're like, we're all here on this boat together.
Yeah, I do think that. That's a good point.
That is true. I use, do you know like the baby apps that you use?
Yeah, yes. I have eight.
I love
them.
I have every single one. I was like
there are watermelons.
Yes. They have, after you have the baby, some of them have like postpartum forums.
Yeah. Okay.
Really? And I used to go up there, yeah.
Yeah, and just say what you, cool. And there's no judgment.
I didn't really say anything, but I just read. Yeah.
Because you could see stuff that you recognized in there. Mm-hmm. So you didn't even have to put it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think finding someone you trust, I don't even think they have to be a mother. Like when you're just worried about yourself, because maybe you don't want advice back. You just need someone to be like,
a sounding board.
I see you're really, when they say like, oh, you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I really don't think I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can be afraid to be judged in that moment. Cause I'd rather be judged in that moment than end up on the 5 o'clock news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you got to choose your heart. And I would choose the immediate situation. Good.
But I think with more people talking about it, like this platform is great. Yeah. Like people will become more comfortable like speaking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's less of a secret. I think with social, like our parents and everybody before that.
They're like, girl, you're fine.
God. Yeah. How they made it through.
Pray about it.
Yeah. Which even though prayer is good and it helped me a lot, I will say if I was in the situation like we were just saying with not having a community, with not having people, I could pray all day and I know that God will sustain me.
Yeah.
But there would be definitely some loneliness that I would feel. There would be an emptiness that I would feel because I'm like, okay, now what? Like after I pray, after I close my eyes and say, okay, thank you, Lord. Like, you know, what next?
And
I also had to check myself and say, if I'm going to ask for help, what help am I actually looking for?
Because
sometimes we don't know.
Yeah. Because your husband be trying to help you sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're like, stop.
Like, okay, I'll do this. And I'm like, well, I don't need that.
Yeah.
You know? So what is it? And I would say that to any mom. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are in that position and you feel that way and you're like, I need help, try your best to kind of go into it with what you're actually looking for so that you can also communicate that. Because once people start helping and, hey, girl, I'm going to come over and I'm going to just sit with you. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you don't want to be sat with.
Yeah.
Maybe you actually want to sit with the baby while you go out and get some fresh air.
Actually, I won't be sitting with you.
I won't be sitting.
Nige will.
Do you have any, like, final words for moms who, you know, are going through this and are feeling that invisible load of motherhood and trying to balance? Like, do you have a tip or any advice for them at all?
I think your word boundaries is great, even though I'm not that great at it. I'm working on it, and I think that comes into me implementing those 2 days. That's a boundary. So even if it's something that small, do it. Like, don't be scared to ask for help at all.
That's it.
Yes.
I mean, we really did good.
You said, if I say so myself.
We gave the information, but no, we would love to hear more, of course.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I want to hear everybody else's experiences as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for being here. This was such an amazing episode and just the discussion that needed to be had. Yes, you are doing a phenomenal job as a mom, and we really appreciate your advice, your encouragement to other moms. And ladies and moms or gentlemen, if you guys have any advice, if you guys have any advice for moms who are walking through a season like we've all had, please comment down below. We would love to hear what you have to say.
Share your heart.
And share your heart with us. Thank you for joining us today. We love you guys.
Yeah.
This is Moms Actually, where
motherhood meets sisterhood. Woo!